You know what?
They came home with a W.
Yeah, with a W.
What Rob didn't mention is the coolness that we'll be having in the evenings, which will be it's very nice.
Fonzie will be outside.
Yeah, coolness. Yeah, yeah, full of coolness.
Hey.
And then it looks like Sunday night, you know, our low is 50. Now, what would Stillima water be? What was what would their forecast be for tonight?
If only there was some sort of a method that we could go to.
Oh, okay, let's see what the
our quick internet guy over there.
What the weather will be like in here and then there.
And I'll see. I think Chase has a shortcut for every information there is in the world.
That's right, I do.
Yeah, it's like
I can control drone aircraft from my computer.
How awesome would that be?
That's right.
Gosh darn near perfect. Sunshine today in the water of Still, 81 for a high. Mm-hmm. Winds out of the north, though. Yeah. Gusting as high as 20.
Oh, my.
And, yeah, by the time the old sun goes down, you're going to want a jacket. Low of 49 tonight.
Oh.
I remember being in Stillwater one time, and a front came through right before kickoff. I mean, and it went from real nice to real horrible in just like a matter of seconds.
Front's not coming through. It'll be
it'll be nice.
So there we go. Well, there's no better example of election year skittishness among the Democrats than the simple vote in the House yesterday to authorize the adjournment of Congress until after the elections.
I don't know what to do.
Yeah, exactly. Somebody's watching. Usually these votes elicit little attention, and sometimes the minority votes against it just 'cause they can. Yesterday, this one, 39 Democrats voted against the plan to leave town until, get this, November 15th. Sure. Guys, this thing passed by one vote.
Really?
210 to 209, and the one vote came from the pollster who broke the tie.
Oh, you know, I saw that last night. She had a big old smile on her face, too.
And, well, and, you know, usually the speaker doesn't even vote at all. I mean, it usually doesn't matter.
So they would have had to stay till November the 15th had it passed?
Exactly. And Chet Edwards is one of the people who, by the way, voted to stay there until November the 15th. List includes
that's one of those things they say, let's it'll look good, but it'll never pass.
Right? Yeah, well, and that's the thing is it became scarily close.
Enough people think that. Yeah. And
well, had it passed, they'd go, Wait, let's do a voice vote. Wait a minute. We got to do a voice vote.
We were just joking.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah.
Motion to reconsider. Yeah. Here,
So for most Democrats, getting out of town is the right thing right around election time. According to a legislative analyst named Nathan Gonzalez, you have dozens and dozens of Democrat members that are in very difficult elections, and so they think there's some good that they can do at home on the campaign trail and do better there than passing legislation in Washington. Herein lies the $64 question. Excuse me. For Congress, it's like $64 billion question. But can Democrats avert major losses by spending next month at home? And you know what? We will definitely know the answer in 4 weeks. Now, yesterday over on the Senate side was your classic, get out of my way, I got a cab to catch. The Senate did. They took one vote. In the meantime, though, here's John Boehner, and I want you to let's remember this one in case the Republicans control Congress and in 2 years. But John Boehner says it is ridiculous that Congress was leaving for elections without approving one budget bill for next year or voting on the tax cuts. The American people sent us here to do their work. He really said that. He said that on the floor of the House yesterday. We are not here to do our work to get reelected. Okay, John. Thanks, buddy. Once again, we'll check with you in a couple of years and see how you feel about that. And yesterday, or an article this morning in Politico, yesterday kind of wrapped up a week of the Democrats dissing this pledge to America that the Republicans have come up with. But the question then becomes, what's the Democrat agenda if they maintain their majority, like that's going to happen? And it appears there's not really any answer. The Democrats basically in damage control right now, and it's all that they can do to even look past election day to see how many of them will still be standing when all this is said and done. So they may be throwing rocks at the Republicans, but now they have no plan for America that can engender any kind of national support for the Democrats. But again, they've got the U.S. president out there doing stuff for them. And did you, I don't know, did you guys see any of the Stephen Colbert testimony last week before the
no.
House?
I committed? Just heard bits and pieces of it. What a monumental waste of time.
Yeah, and again, you know, the chairman invited Colbert to be there so that he could shtick. Members of Congress have decided that he is off limits now. Do not go on his show is the word. And, you know, a couple of years ago, that was the place to be. Mm-hmm. But now staffers are telling their members of Congress, don't go.
Why?
Not the best thing. Well, they just don't show up well when it's all said and done, because after all, they do at the Comedy Central Network get a chance to edit it. The famous one is Better Know a District, a segment that Colbert has done from time to time. Lynn Westmoreland talked about how his boss appeared in 2006. He was Georgia Republican who co-sponsored a bill requiring the Ten Commandments be displayed in Congress. And during the segment, it appeared that the candidate was only able to name three of the commandments. So that's not good. But again, you sit down.
Only ones he hadn't broken?
Well, terrible.
I know.
I don't know. But anyhow,
that's pretty good, actually.
Stephen Colbert is apparently not going to get the great interviews anymore. What the aides are saying is we want to concentrate on local opportunities for talking to the media rather than going on the national stage right now, I guess, if Colbert's there. I kind of like Colbert, but, you know.
I'm over him.
You sit down in front of him with a camera and a microphone, you got to know that he's going to do shtick. The political reporters getting ready for Rahm Emanuel. He will announce his plans to run for mayor of Chicago tomorrow, and he will move back to the city this weekend, according to the Chicago Sun-Times. Hmm. But they're saying don't expect any kind of a big-time formal announcement or anything that he's running. He'll run, but then today the Financial Times says good riddance to bad trash, according to some people who worked with him. Financial Times points to three problems in his tenure as the chief of staff for Barack Hussein Obama, and they are anonymously trash-talking. Quote number one, Rahm cannot keep his thoughts focused for more than 10 minutes. What's wrong with that? if he spent...
butterfly.
Sorry, yeah. If he spent as much time planning strategies as he does trying to win the next news cycle, then things might have gone differently. Another complaint is that as the chief White House negotiator, he consistently made concessions with Republicans just to see them go on to obstruct the White House's legislation anyway. Rahm's approach, here's the quote, Rahm's approach helped create the impression the Obama White House had no principles. It was simply transactional. And the third complaint is that Rahm managed Obama's inner circle, that'd be David Axelrod, Robert Gibbs, and Valerie Jarrett, while treating the rest of the White House with disdain. Rahm Emanuel treats somebody with disdain, do you think? I can't imagine. Hmm. Everything we hear is he seems to be such a nice guy.
Yeah, just guy you want to have a drink with.
That's it. So, have you heard the problems of...
Yeah, yeah. I'll have water, he'll have strychnine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And once again, watch for him going in the locker room, because apparently he really, really doesn't...
Pay attention to towels?
Has a real potty mouth at that time. Yeah, just comes in and... trashes you. Anyhow, I don't know if y'all heard the problem with Christine O'Donnell yet, still, and again. This lady is pretty amazing. Apparently, on her LinkedIn profile, she said that she listed Oxford University in the UK, not the one in Mississippi, you know, as one of her alma maters.
Uh-huh.
She elaborates the nature of her time there by stating that she studied postmodernism in the new millennium. Well, what we find out is, in fact, it was a summer program that was put on by the Phoenix Institute, who rented space at Oxford. Okay? It's like...
Details.
Room 207 of the Oxford summer program. Just go into room 207. Here's the handout. And the folks from Phoenix Institute said, hey... All we did was rent the space. It was the curriculum. We did the curriculum. We did the grades. It wasn't Oxford. So, if you want to know the truth. And then that's not all. You know, she also was caught manipulating her education having to do with receiving that BA from Fairleigh Dickinson University last year. She claimed for a long time she had already been granted a degree. That hadn't happened. So, now we find out that there is yet more. She did not attend Claremont Graduate University, which she also listed in her LinkedIn profile. So it seems that she's not being forthcoming on her educational background.
Like, that's never happened before.
Have you heard about the New York governor's race? Jeez. All right. The guy who's running for the Tea Party, his name is Carl Paladino. He is alleging that Andrew Cuomo was unfaithful to his ex-wife years ago, even though Paladino offered no proof to the claim. And actually, the accusations about Cuomo came just seconds after he had told Politico that his 10-year-old daughter, the product of his own affair, was off limits to the press. So Paladino said, you can't talk about my daughter from my affair, but I want to let you know that Andrew Cuomo was having an affair, too. Is that scuzzy or what? And again, like that's never happened before. So that's in New York. And Lisa Murkowski, apparently within 2 points of Joe Miller, if she does a write-in. That's the word from some poll.
But do you have to spell it right?
And again, yeah, I think you do. And if
you get one little K wrong or something? Or
I mean, and if you, yeah. And if
put
you,
an S instead of a Z?
Right,
or?
If you spell it wrong, does it count? I mean, I think that's a very real question to ask.
She really needs to change her name to Smith before the election.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. Well, again, that's hanging chads and dropping Zs or whatever. But right now it says that she's within striking distance, so we'll see. It's 10 till.